This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome back to the second episode of our Office Chair to 5K series. That's what we're calling it because that's what it is and that's what Cara is going to do. However, as you'll hear in this episode, we have had a little bit of a bumpy start to her journey. I'm sure you're all waiting to hear all about that, and she is, as always, being very honest and candid about her experience. So you'll hear all the more from her shortly. But this is just a quick reminder to those of you that are following along. Well, it's first of all a congratulations for finishing your first week if you've just done so. If you haven't, no stress at all. There is plenty of time to catch up and join in with us on this journey. You can find the training plan in the show notes. Just have a little look there and you'll be able to download it. But just as a reminder for those of you who are about to embark on week two, that as usual, it's no stress at all. It's three runs. You're looking at 6 90-second runs with a minute walk. So 90 seconds running, 1 minute walking, 6 times over for your first run. And then you're doing 7 of them for your next run and 7 of them for the one after that. Still 90 seconds followed by a minute walking. If you can whack some cross training in there, great. You know, walking is fantastic, swimming, spinning, whatever else it is that you might do. We also talk a little bit about strength in this episode. So listen in if you would like to know a bit more about what else you can be doing to build strength. Cara is particularly focusing on lower body this week. So we've got some tips in there for you. But if not, if you want to do your own thing, then go to whatever gym class you enjoy, or there are plenty you can find online. Check out the Women's Running website, for example. We have got plenty of workouts if you want to get stuck into something there. So that's a little bit of a reminder about what you're doing this week. As usual, check out the show notes for all the important links. You can find that training plan if you want to join Cara on this journey and run along with her. And if you want to subscribe to Women's Running, now is the time, because you're the perfect candidate, really, if you're listening to this. You get a free 5K guide written by me and Esther. We're really proud of it. It's got all sorts of useful info in there. So do check out the show notes as well if you would like to get your hands on that subscription. It's the best deal you can get at the moment. And as I said, you get lots of free content. Anyway, let's head over to Cara and you can hear all of her news and all the stuff that Esther and I tried to say to reassure her. Thank you for joining us.
This series of the Women's Running Podcast is sponsored by Vivo Barefoot. Vivo Barefoot is on a mission to create footwear that brings you closer to nature. Esther, you always talk about how perfect your feet are. Well, it turns out that Vivo Barefoot agrees with you. Your feet are the perfect bits of kit, and humans have evolved to walk, move, and run barefoot. So what could be more natural than a shoe that enables you to do just that?
I do have perfect feet. Thanks, Vivo Barefoot. Their shoes are beautiful and are designed wide to provide natural stability, thin to enable you to feel more underfoot, and flexible to help you build your natural strength from the ground up.
Studies show that foot strength increases by 60% in a matter of months just by walking around in them. And they feel wonderful to move around in too.
They really do. Vivo Barefoot has a great range of shoes for kids and adults, and for every activity. Plus, their footwear is produced using sustainably sourced natural, bio, and recycled materials with the aim to protect the planet so you can run wild on it.
And if you've popped onto vivobarefoot.com and are having a browse of the gorgeous shoes, do check out Vivo Health while you're there. Vivo Health is an online platform for natural health. This has online courses, health assessment tools, and workshops that will help you improve foot strength, technique for both road and trail running, and more. Just pop along to vivobarefoot.com/UK/VivoHealth to find out more.
And we've saved the best bit till last. Vivo Barefoot are offering everyone a 100-day trial on their footwear. And you can pick up a pair today with an exclusive 15% discount for you, our lovely Pod Squad. Just use the code WOMENSRUNNING15 at the checkout.
Well, how is everybody?
Yeah, how are
you? It's January. It's very January.
It is January. It's very January. Lovely break-ish, busy. Mm-hmm. And a bit busy on top of that.
And
now we're back into busy January.
We are back into busy January.
New things and all of that.
I was going to say, I was listening to a podcast a few days ago. I won't say, because I don't want to promote another podcast. How, you know, there's plenty of this. Listen to this. But they were like, oh, enjoy the stillness of this time of year.
There's no still.
No.
Where's the still? Point me in that direction.
Where is the stillness of this time of year?
Got the kind of where you delay things in December because it's so busy, and you go, oh, I'll come back to that in January, and now it's the coming back to that in January phase, and it's not all it's meant to be.
It's not.
It's like,
it?
You know, have you ever seen those videos of like I see them all the time of running schools where they are instructing people on how to run fast on a treadmill, and instead of speeding the treadmill up incrementally, they get them to kind of straddle it and then jump on and then run really, really, really fast. And I've seen loads of videos like that, and I always think that just looks. If that were me, I would just smack my chin on the console in the front and fly off backwards or whatever.
I was going to say, I feel like I've seen more of those type of videos. If we're talking treadmill content, are people sliding off the back and being you're making a hole in the drywall behind them?
Yeah, I mean, it's not those. This is super fast people running super fast, but really, really quickly and immediately, which is what January feels like
to me.
Time
for new things, time for new routines. It's so gonna be true. Good it's gonna be good, guys.
It is gonna so be good, Carl. And so now this is like week two of Couch to 5k. Tell me how good it's been. I want to know.
Oh no. Spoiler alert is that it's not been good if we're talking about in terms of running. So I did my first run, which I can definitely talk about in more detail.
First run, and then you can do the M. Night Shyamalan, whatever his name is, twist at the end.
Yeah, we'll do a build up. Everybody wait for it. So I did my first run. So I think it was the day after Boxing Day. I don't know what the dates are. It was one of those, 27th, 28th, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was great, actually. I was at my mum's and it was quite cozy because back in the day when I tried to run, I had a little running route that I hadn't ventured upon for probably about 10 years. So I was at my mum's and I thought, actually, I know the perfect place. I call it Hobbit Land because it looks like it's shod from the Shire. And I went out. I had my Fitbit. Can I say Fitbit?
Yeah, you can say Fitbit. Yeah.
Okay, Fitbits. They're great. had my Fitbit strapped to me and got out there. Followed your recommendations and walked up a hill to begin with, which got my heart rate up, and I felt like I was like, "Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready." Did the running part, kind of sucked for me. Then I got to like the walking part, which I liked, and I did the running part and went back and forth for a while. Ended up liking the running part.
Was this 10 minutes on, 10 minutes off? Is it something like that? So one on, one off.
Yes, one on, one off. And yeah, I found the watch completely invaluable because knowing that I didn't have to watch the time go down when I was running and just like anticipating the end was really helpful. I could just kind of get into it and then be told to stop, which I found great.
That's great.
And I found it very wholesome and felt refreshed coming back. I think it all went pretty well.
And in terms of like, if you hated the running bit, do you think maybe you were running a little bit too fast?
Yes. So I did listen back to the last podcast and completely forgot the advice that you said, try and speak, like say a sentence or say yes or no at the end of the run. And looking back, I probably could not have done that. So I think I was probably running a little bit fast. Surprisingly.
A classic though, Kar. I feel like that's always what you do. I mean, even this morning I went for a gentle run and it wasn't gentle at all, just because it was the first time I've run in the new year. And I think whenever you kind of get back into it for the first time, you're sort of imagining yourself as Usain Bolt, and it's like, oh, it's absolutely fine. You do not have to go for it, but it's easier said than done, isn't it? You're still trying to find that momentum and find the pace.
Yeah, I found the first couple of runs. Well, I didn't know what was going on, to be perfectly honest. I don't know if it was the sports bra I was wearing, but my heart, my chest, honestly felt like I was burning from the inside out. It was like, what is this heat happening right now? But I sorted myself out and did this. I was actually wearing this and did this.
Yeah, and she's demonstrating for the. For
I'm
the
demonstrating
listener.
Stripping on the podcast. And I got into the swing of it. I think my only downfall was I wasn't sure that I was counting at one point. I wasn't quite sure how many runs I had done.
I see.
So I think I'm on three. I think I'm on five. I'm not sure, but I think I did about that and turned around.
I don't have a Fitbit. And when I've used sports watches in the past, I've used a Garmin, I've used a Polar watch, and I am so tech incompetent that I've just about sort of managed to kind of, by looking at the time, go, oh, I've done another 5 minutes, so maybe I should walk or whatever, if I've been doing kind of run walking. But is there a way on a Fitbit that you can plan, you can plot a run and be like, oh, I'm going to do seven rounds of 1 minute on, 1 minute off. Is that possible? Does anybody know?
Is that a question for me? Because I was going to say, I know you can do it with a Garmin, but I don't know if you can do it with a Fitbit. And I say that with a degree of confidence, but not because I've ever done it, but I've definitely seen people do it. I know that you can, and it's a possibility.
Well, yeah, but I'm going to go and have a fiddle, but...
Yeah, because that might help.
Watch.
And then you can... And then... You know, I guess that will also help you see it as what was one holistic thing.
But I did really like that structure, and I really liked the layout of a minute on, a minute off, and it just felt doable. And by the time I got to the halfway point, I wasn't like, oh my god, I've got another half what to go. I just turned around and came back. So yeah, it went well.
That's really nice. How long did it take?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, I have no idea. I don't have a clue.
I think that's really good. That was just that came out of interest because I was like, oh, I wonder how long it would take me to do those minute on, minute offs. And I was thinking about Couch to 5K and how that's usually like half an hour of exercise. But I think better to not think about it, because that's not why you're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, well, my mum and Dave were sat in the living room having a conversation and they were still doing it when I got back. So yeah, let's say 40 minutes.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds absolutely bang
no
on.
No one died, so
it was still 2023.
Exactly, yeah. So that was the first run of three that you were going to be doing in the first week.
Yes, so, it was.
So then what happened? Talk us through the
when
next
what
bit.
Happened. Well, as my apprehension from the first episode gave quite a good setup for events that occurred. But no, I think 2 days later, my legs were really hurting the next day. Mm-hmm. Which I was quite surprised at, to be honest, because I didn't feel like I'd pushed myself really hard. Like I felt like it was kind of a healthy exercise, but obviously I just haven't run for so long. Mm. So my legs were hurting the next day. So on the day after, I foolishly suggested going January shopping with my friend in Bath, and the cobbles got me, paired with sore legs. And as Dave likes to refer to it, my wankles, which are my weak ankles, did a number on me, and I sprained my ankle.
No.
Yes, indeed. So that wasn't amazing. I went into full panic and was like, but what about my 5K? And I can't stay on schedule and things. And then I decided to chill out, and that it was not in my control. It is starting to feel better, but alas, it was my first and last run of that week.
So you did exactly the right thing,
I think.
You did. 100%. You did.
And on this pod, we know all too well the feeling of having a plan and having a race that you're pushing towards. Everybody looking forward to you doing it, and then a few weeks beforehand getting an injury, falling down the stairs, doing something stupid, and
always having
to put your plans on hold. It happens all the time. And yeah, you did exactly the right thing by stopping for a bit. I'm glad it's feeling better. What are you thinking for this week? So to go over what would be in the plan for those listening who are following along, and just to remind you all, and as a quick reminder as well, you can find this plan in the show notes. Also, do sign up for our little newsletters that we're sending to sort of give you a little boost as you go. It would be three runs again, and we're looking at 6 90-seconds followed by a minute walk for your first run, and then 7 90-seconds followed by a minute walk for your next two. So slightly increasing that run time. What are you thinking about those, Car, with your ankle situation?
Yeah, so I think it's not super, super serious. I think it's like a grade one sprain. However, I have quite a weak right ankle, and I'm not too far off needing surgery if I keep damaging it. So I am quite conscious that I want to build that up and focus on that in terms of strength and everything. But I think in terms of being in pain, like I'm not in massive amounts of pain, and I've been doing some walking over New Year and things like that, and it's been a bit twingy, but it's not been like I can't walk any further. So I think with a strap, I should be able to get out and try running again next week. But I might want to go back to that first week and try and do that fully and make sure that I'm putting in those kind of physio exercises at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think that's where I'm at. I don't know if my running gurus have any other recommendations, or if tell me that's a bad idea. I don't know.
I don't think it's a bad idea at all.
It's probably the best to comment, or the only thing I will input, it would just be if you found that last time, perhaps the fact that you were just generally feeling a bit knackered and a bit more prone to injury as a result, to like slipping over or twisting or falling or whatever, then maybe making sure that you give yourself proper rest days after your runs is key at the mo. Esther?
Yeah, and I mean, I do, it sounds like you're going down absolutely the right path, basically. But I think I honestly wouldn't run on it until you feel like 100% better. Because, you know, obviously, like you said, you know, if you know you have a historical kind of weakness, you don't want to kind of exacerbate it
in any way.
Yeah, the wankles. I definitely think that if you could have injured yourself, this is absolutely the best time to have done it. Because what you wouldn't have wanted to do is get to week 8 and be like almost there and then kind of set yourself back a bit. Mm. But I think the beauty of kind of any kind of 0 to 5K thing is that, yes, you can repeat weeks, you can go over weeks, but also because actually, I know it probably doesn't feel like it at the time, but 10 weeks to get to 5K for someone that's healthy, that already exercises regularly, you know, all those sorts of things, it's actually quite a long time. So you might find that, yes, you might want to repeat week one or complete week one next week, but you might want to skip a week as you go down, as you know, as you progress, you might want to. So you could kind of catch up if you were doing it alongside anybody. But yeah, I certainly wouldn't leap into week two if you found that that first run was a stretch, like if it was kind of if it was pushing you kind of cardiovascularly as well as kind of and your legs and stuff. But yeah,
you could do a bit of a hybrid, I suppose, as well, would just be a thought, like if you wanted to repeat that run, but if that felt good, then maybe doing one or two of the week two runs afterwards. Would that be okay, Esther? I'm looking at you.
I don't see why not. I mean, just I think it is generally it's run to feel, isn't it? It's see how you feel. And but you were talking about physio exercises, so are you seeing a physio as well?
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and t-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
No, I've seen a physio for my ankle. Well, and it throws it all off because it's my right ankle, but my left knee and my left hip, I think, are all because I've had an injury in my right ankle for so long. It's kind of thrown my weight distribution off slightly, I suppose.
Totally.
And I think something like running or even a lot of walking, both being tired from it, exasperates probably me not kind of engaging my muscles well enough to keep me all in line, but also exasperates the way that my weight is naturally, I don't know, has happened.
Yeah, that's classic.
So,
yeah.
So not seeing a physio at the moment, but did have, you know, the classic repetitive exercises that you don't do, and then you
never
go for a second round of physio because you're I really should have done them. So I've got them all in the bank that I just need to bring out and just work into a bit of a schedule alongside this, I think.
That kind of, that moves in quite nicely, isn't it? Because I know that before we started recording, you were talking about being interested in knowing more about sort of strength exercises you can do to kind of support your body and to try and prevent injury going forward. And actually, I think the physio exercises that you will have been given will actually be quite similar to some short strength exercises that you can do to support your joints, your ankles, your knees and your hips going forward. Because I think, I mean, there's plenty of kind of full body strength exercises that we can go to in kind of quite a lot more detail as we get progress through the weeks, and stuff like that Hole's been doing with her kind of strength training, where you'd be doing like your core and your arms as well as your legs. But it sounds to me as if right now it would be great to kind of concentrate on some exercises that help with the kind of mobility and strength in those parts of your legs. So, and do you know, one of the simplest things, and I keep on reading this because, you know, like in January you get like loads of articles that say little things you can do, little life hacks you can do. And one thing that I think that all of us can be doing to support our running health and the strength of our legs, that's really, really super easy to do, is to work on our balance, coordination and strength by standing on one leg while we're brushing our teeth at night. So
I knew that you were going to say doing something while brushing your teeth. I feel like it's a classic, isn't it? As well as sort of calf raises.
Mm. Yes, because that's what I was. Raises. I remember that distinctly from physio, of calf raises, doing it on both feet, however many times, and then trying to move to one foot for a little while and helping to build.
Yeah, and
said injury.
Definitely to do that on a step rather than in front of the mirror when you're brushing your teeth with calf raises, so that your heel goes down slightly lower than your toes. And also one of the things about calf raises is to focus on the downward motion of it rather than the up. So push up with both feet, lift one foot off, and then let one, your left foot, for instance, come down very, very slowly. And then you're working on the sort of the eccentric motion, which is where you'll be building all the strength in your calf much more as you go down rather than when you go up, which is an easier motion anyway.
Yeah. We did do a podcast episode on this. Yeah, the eccentric stuff. It blew my mind, Carl. It's definitely worth a listen for anybody listening now. It's all fascinating stuff. It's all the bits that basically you think, the bit you think is doing the work is not necessarily the bit that's doing the most efficient work. Yeah.
And I'd also just through my own experience, which isn't brilliant with strength training at home, I think strength training at home is actually one of the main causes of little niggles and injuries, because you can overextend yourself and you can, without the guidance of someone watching you and checking out your form, for instance, for me, it's really easy to throw my back out when I'm doing squats and things like that. So while a squat is really good for you, I think for runners, a better exercise is things where you're using one leg rather than two, because running is a series of small jumps on one leg, isn't it? Rather than two legs. So things where you're off balance, like the one standing on one leg, but also things like lunges, which I think is a sort of slightly easier movement than a squat, and certainly a bit easier to not chuck out your form in some way. But if you did like a forward lunge or even a static lunge, but where you're kind of putting the load through just one leg, and then very, very slowly lower yourself so that your knee is almost touching the floor, and then come back up again. And that, again, while you're brushing your teeth, so that you don't have to kind of add any time to your day, that's an easy thing to do. And I don't think you don't need to do loads of them, particularly if you're just starting strength, say, this week. You just do a few.
Yeah,
just do...
I mean, you've hit the nail on the head, because I suck at warrior poses. So those lunges are my downfall. So yeah, I think those are some really good places to start. And the same thing, I actually have stairs leading down to my bathroom, so I can do these said things on stairs whilst brushing my teeth.
Brilliant.
It's all coming together.
That's good.
Well, I tell you what, it certainly made me realise I need to stop brushing my teeth. So.
Yeah, right. Well, what could you achieve while flossing, Hol? That's the thing. So I think I do just make sure that you're kind of, yeah, it's if your ankles are weak, it's kind of, it's taking things really slowly there. And there is no shame in holding onto a banister when you're doing, you know, or holding onto a wall when you're doing those lunges, just to make sure the form is correct. And also stop if it hurts. It shouldn't hurt ever. So just, and I think if you did the balancing on one leg and tree pose, great, you know, but if not, just balance on one leg, or the lunges, I think would be a fantastic thing. And maybe you can add in a side lunge. When lunges get boring, if you're doing forward ones, do side ones, and you'll be using slightly different muscles. But again, just try to go down as low as you can, but make sure you're doing it the same on both sides and don't hurt is the key.
Yeah.
I think, sorry, what you said about shame caught in my brain there as well. And I think, not that you tend to go down this path, Carr, generally. I think that you are quite a matter-of-fact person with the stuff, and it's like, it is what it is. A classic Carr Northcott phrase is, it is what it is.
It's what it is.
But I think for anybody listening who might have also gone on there, because I'm sure it will be quite common, I've had it before as well, getting back into running, or when you go on your first run and then something happens, like, you know, whether that's cardiovascularly, that you think, oh my God, that was absolutely awful. I feel like I've been smoking 60 a day, or whether you pull something or fall over, or that I think often that can put us off and make us never go out again. And while it's very, very important to make sure that if you have got a recurring injury or a historical issue, to be cautious, because you don't want to, like you said, Carr, end up needing surgery or, you know, hurting yourself beyond repair. I think reminding yourself that, like, it doesn't have to be perfect. Something is better than nothing, which is my New Year's saying to myself, that you still did it. Even if it was a bit crap, take the time that you need to recover and go for it again. And you're not doing, you know, you're not, no, nobody's looking at you going, oh, that was shit, because it wasn't sort of immediately out the gate like the most perfect run in inverted commas, because what does that even mean? It's like, it's just giving it a crack, isn't it? And
yeah, I think, and thank you. Thanks for the support, guys, because I was worried there for a while and there was a bit of shame. And then I turned it around and was like, what are you doing? Why are you feeling worried about that? Because for me, I think the timing of trying to do the 10 weeks potentially, I'm very kind of target driven. And once I commit to something, like, I'm laser focused on it. And so when there is an end goal in sight, I kind of, that pressure potentially isn't always good for me, because I do really believe in listening to your body. And I am very honest with if something's not feeling good or if it is feeling good. And I'm quite in touch with that. And those two things don't always marry up. So I think I definitely want to approach this in the first instance, because it's far more sustainable to build a relationship with running that you love, rather than just trying to get to, I've got to do this in this time, and then I'll probably be like, yeah, like last time, thank God that's over. I'm not doing it again. Tick. So yeah, I think that's definitely the approach that I'm taking, that I, that with no experience, would recommend so far. Yeah, thanks for your support.
So this week is a rest week, and then next week, see how you feel. And maybe pick up again from week one. And for everyone else that's following along, this is sort of week two, but you can just follow along with Carr too, particularly because I think lots of people might be listening to this and think, actually, my first week of January, I didn't quite, you know, get out.
I didn't do Christmas as well.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Like, as I confessed, I've done one run since the new year began, because the first few days of the new year are still, you know, getting pissed and eating leftovers, aren't they?
So exactly that. And my press up vow to myself has lasted 10 press ups, and that was on January the 2nd. So, you know, it takes a little while for these sort of habits to kind of bed in, don't they? So if anyone's following along, which I hope everyone is, actually, to be honest, start again next week with Carr.
Yeah.
It's all
start again with me.
Yeah.
We're on week 1 3/4.
Yeah. Exactly. Love that. And the important thing, as discussed, is that you look after yourself. As you said, Carr, you listen to your body. And this is a girl. Well, I was about to say this is a girl gang. Oh, sorry, that was gross. This is a community of women.
A girl band.
It's a girl band. This is a girl band who do not judge and who welcome all. So there is no, you know, you don't need to meet certain criteria. You know, we're all stumbling through, literally and figuratively. So
yes, exactly.
So join in, whatever your fitness level and however your first run went. Yeah.
Absolutely. I do have another additional question for you, because definitely going to kind of start again next week, essentially. But another fun thing to throw into the mix is that I'm picking up my dog tomorrow. I'm adopting a doggo.
Oh,
I know.
My God.
So that's going to change my routine quite a bit, and that I will be walking a lot more, which hopefully should work into the cross training. But also just about kind of running with dogs and things like that. I don't know if you've talked about it before. I don't really know how to approach it. I'm adopting him, and it's going to be training him to potentially run with me if that's the case. But yeah, what's your advice with that? Leave him at home, try and take him out. What do we do?
I think first off, that sounds like that is all the more reason that it's good that this is a rest week, because from what you've said to me about it, Kat, it sounds as though as you're adopting the dog, I mean, this would be the same if it was a puppy and stuff as well, isn't it? That like that first week is just getting to know each other. And I guess you won't quite know yet whether the dog can be left on his own for a bit. And, you know, when it comes back to it, I think it's absolutely fine to, I'm saying this, maybe people won't agree, but I think it would be absolutely fine to leave him for, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes if you're going for your run. I would probably do that over trying to take him at the moment, just because I think sometimes with dogs, I certainly know this is the case with puppies. I know he's not a puppy. He's a bit older, isn't he? That actually running with them often, sometimes when they aren't fully developed, can be a bit damaging for them. But I think it will probably just depend on him. And if you find that it works brilliantly and he's a great companion on a run, ideal, I guess give it a crack on a run that you don't particularly mind about if it turns into a bit of a fail and you have to turn around and come home. But if he turns out to be the sort of dog that ends up pulling you over and causing you to graze your knees, then I think that's absolutely fine if it stays your thing.
I think it's a try and see.
Mm-hmm.
Canicross can be it's a tricky one, because I know that some people see it as being quite a controversial thing, running with your dog.
Right.
Tell me more.
Well, I with people that are very, very passionate dog owners, they would expect you to be kind of dog first, person second. And so therefore, if you want to exercise, then that's your thing, not the dog's thing. But obviously some dogs absolutely bloody love it. And like Hol says, it does depend on the dog, on the breed, on the personality, whatever. Some people are really up for it, but they need an enormous amount of training and loads of patience. So it's not something that you can expect to do like bang straight off the bat, because and especially when it comes to any kind of harness or lead that they could pull you, it could be dangerous for them, it could be dangerous for you. So it takes a while to get
especially with these timing stops as well. Like, I think that would obviously be really confusing to try and train a dog and be like, right, stop now we stop.
Yeah, that's true.
I think definitely with dogs, it's kind of, it's going to be one of those things, isn't it, that you know, as you get to know your dog and your dog gets to know you, maybe this is something that you incorporate in your training in the months to come. But I don't think in the couch to 5k, like you said, because of the timings and because you're trying to get something out of it that won't be beneficial for your dog necessarily, who will want to stop and start at different times, kind of thing.
It could be an enormous beneficial
thing to do later on, a bit further down the line. But the walking aspect is brilliant. That's so good. It's the most perfect cross training you could do.
Best cross training. Yeah.
Every day, cross training.
Every day.
Update that training plan. She's cross training
every day. There's no rest for the wicked.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope it all works out, Kat. I think it's going to be amazing. I think, we can discuss more. And I think this is a very interesting extra aspect to your training. But I think, if you're worried about fitting in the runs around having a dog as well, again, all the more reason that this is going to be a great opportunity for a rest week. But I'm sure that even if you don't feel super comfortable leaving him on his own in the house when you go for those first few runs of your next week back, then, you know, working out how you can, you know, fit them around where Dave's going to be at home with the dog, or I'm sure it'll be
absolutely all right. Just take a bit of calendar coordinating, but it's an adventure. We're going to throw everything to start in January and just see what comes out by Feb.
Can't wait.
Super exciting. Yep. Fab. Okay, we will check in next week. Can't wait to see what happens with dog and training and ankle,
and injury, and it's all going on. And thank you for your honesty. And thank you for adding the drama.
Always bring the drama. Yes, I'll try not to get run over by any cars or anything like that, and it will all go perfectly well.
Yeah, it's all content, baby.
It's all content.
It's all content. From the hospital reporting in test subject 325. Honestly, I'm looking forward to it. I think, like I said, the thing I got from it was I really enjoyed getting outside, and even if it's one run, it was one run well done.
Ooh. It was.
Indeed, so, it was.
Thank you, guys. And yeah, well, I look forward to talking to you next week.
Cool.
Well, there we are. Sometimes things don't always go to plan. As we well know on this podcast, we've all experienced setbacks, and it's completely normal. And just remembering that something is better than nothing, sticking it out, though, of course, making sure that you are getting the rest that you need if you have got an injury. Always contact a GP or a physio if you are worried about something that's causing you a lot of pain, or if a recurring injury starts to come back. All the stuff we've said to Carl, really. But don't give up. You are fantastic. And we're very, very proud of you. Speaking of, we'll see you next week for another episode to check in and see how everyone's getting on. Interested to see how Cara does after all the changes that she's going through in her life at the moment. Once again, a reminder that you can find the training plan that she's following in the show notes. But if you'd prefer to have me read it to you like a dictator of some kind, then once again, it's three runs this week, no more than that. You're looking at 6 rounds of 2 minutes running, followed by 2 minutes walking, and then pushing that to 2 minutes running and 90 seconds of walking for another 6 rounds. So slightly less walking in that one, really building up the amount of time that you're spending running. And then for your final run of the week, that is 7 rounds of 2 minutes running, 90 seconds walking. So yeah, do follow along, and good luck if that's what you're taking on this week. And don't forget to sign up to our newsletter if you would like little weekly check-ins. If these podcasts simply aren't enough for you, then I understand. Do sign up for that newsletter. The link is also in the show notes, and we're just basically sending you a little weekly roundup with some useful tips and tricks, bits and bobs that you can find on the website that can help you through this training, a personal little update from Cara, and a little bit about whatever I fancy talking about that week. So do join us over there as well. Keep in touch. We would love you to. And looking forward to seeing you next week already.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.